B-Pod Studios.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub, no!
It's the Bagel Awards.
Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the Onion.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash, this chef.
Oh! 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, the Bankroll Boys. Are brought to you by DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app now. Enter code SPORTSHUB during sign up to try DraftKings for free. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. And there has actually been quite a bit that the Bankroll Boys could bet on. Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. The UFC seems to have some kind of event every other day. And such was the case last night. But first, let's talk about the Calhoun Car Hop, where they are bringing it back to the 1950s with a drive-in. Yeah. Hey, cool. All right. Guys, tell us about the Calhoun. Give us the inside scoop on the Calhoun Car Hop.
All right. So it's interesting because I one day said to Andy, I'm like, hey, man, like, I think, like, you should try to do some outside seating. They had the Tiki Bar in the past. So if you've ever been to the Tiki Bar, it was, like, you know, guys in Hawaiian shirts. You could sit outside, and they had a big projection television that you could watch sports on. And I think they're going to use that same projection television projection screen to possibly, you know, to do a car hop and show me.
Hey. Are you telling me that all of this was your idea?
You're claiming
no,
this?
No, I'm not taking claim for it. They had the Tiki Bar last year.
Joe Murray's a genius. He's a genius.
Look at you.
Saving business for the Calhoun.
Hey, listen.
That was going to happen.
You can ask Andy. I made the recommendation.
Yeah, I'll ask Andy.
Okay.
Does that move you up in, like, the rankings of the Calhoun crew? Like, are you are you battling Jay Stu for consigliere to Andy Wong?
No, because it's funny. I went in there fairly recently, and, I had to wait in line, and I do my turn, and everyone knew my name. I said, hello, hey, and then grabbed my stuff and left, but... You know, Sarge is the mayor. There's no way of getting over him. You know,
he's
what
the
I mean?
Mascot. He's the mascot. But when it comes to real power, look what you did. You might have saved the Wong summer.
I think you might
have saved the loon.
Listen, it was an idea. They had the big projection screen, and I said, "Hey, what about tailgating the car?" You know,
yeah. You know, the light bulb was an idea. You know,
and then he went with
Apple
it.
Computer was an idea. This is the internet was an idea. Wow. Joe Murray, you might have saved the summer for all the Saga sites or whatever they're called.
You. Did you have to sit at a table with Jay Stu and Andy Wong? Yes, we'll meet you now. Take a seat.
Nope, it was a simple phone call. Hey, man, how you doing? Hey, you know what you should think of? Outside seating.
I might need a favor one day, and I won't say what that day is.
All right. So,
by the way, somebody made a really good point. Do you understand? I'm not joking about this. If that happens, how popular it's going to be? Like, yeah. There's going to be traffic backed up to Quincy to get into that thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be such a big deal.
I mean, where are there? Down in Newburyport and other places, they do like summer events where you can go to the park and watch Jaws and things like that. So. Hey, come up to Route 1, get, you know, have drinks and eat, maybe tailgate a little bit and watch whatever movie that they put on the screen. I think it could be something interesting this summer.
Sarge doing pregame trivia.
Oh, God, there's no avoiding that.
There's no question he's going to do that.
Well, no, yeah. Sarge does his speech before the movie comes on, and all of a sudden it's 1 o'clock in the morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, keep your cell phones low.
All right, now here's the deal. We'll be watching Grease.
That's right.
People have called me a young Travolta.
All right, Adrian's Zmed is my favorite. All right. Do you think, what are you hearing through the betting channels? Are these leagues happening? What are you hearing through? Because you guys know things that we don't know. You know, you had Florida and Arizona willing to take these teams. What is your guys' opinion on that?
I mean, it sounds like the NHL is obviously going to happen. The commissioner clearly wants it to happen. I think that he sees an opportunity for popularity for the NHL, especially if you have some troubles getting the NFL or the MLB or both kind of going at this time. Or, sorry, the NBA and the MLB kind of going at this time. I do think the NBA is also going to start. I think when you have the most powerful players in the league wanting to play, it's going to end up happening, especially a guy like LeBron James, who we kind of talked about last week, is very powerful in the league, him and his agent. So I expect the NBA will probably be maybe the first to start. I don't think it's that hard to, you know, to kind of get everyone together. You need to find some cities or, you know, find, you know, some places where these teams who aren't allowed to practice need to practice. You find a couple cities, maybe one host city for them to do that in, and, you know, boom, you can kind of figure the rest out from there. You know, 2-3 weeks for these guys, and you might be able to see them playing by, you know, mid to late June, honestly, if they kind of get everything in order pretty quickly.
I haven't been keeping track with the maniac who runs Las Vegas. Like, are they getting prepared for, I mean, is the reason the NBA hasn't done this or launched into it because Vegas just isn't ready, or what's the case there?
Apparently, Rich, what I've heard is, I don't mean to jump in, is that she has no real power. That what she's just talking, and that she's not able to do what she said.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's for most of these people who just kind of like to say things and say things. So
I guess her power is perception, and I think that maybe people just heard what she had to say and went, all right, well, there's maniacs there. Let's take a look at Disney World. But now Disney, I don't think, wants to, you know, wants to be the first. I don't know. But I'm wondering if that's why they're waiting, when it seems like all these other, you know, leagues are kind of have a plan to go ahead.
Listen, you can go to Florida, right? I mean, Orlando seems like a spot if you want to get this thing going. I think July 4th is a good date. I think things might be, you know, baseball, I think, might get started. I know they have to have that spring training there, but the NBA, it just really comes down to, do they want to go straight to playoffs or finish out the regular season? You know, in hockey, I mean, they did a last week did a player vote, and 12% of the league said they didn't want to finish the season. So, you know, Gary Bettman swears he wants to finish it. I think they will. It's just, you know, stage one's essentially what, March 18th? In some places it got pushed back, but May 18th. But I think this thing's going to happen. I think they're going to finish both seasons, and it will probably start right around July 4th.
Especially the NBA. I don't know. I mean, if you have states that are willing to do it, I don't know what the issue is. I mean, people that work at restaurants are working around 15 people.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't understand why the NBA should be any different.
Well, I mean, understand. We obviously understand why baseball is an issue. Like, that might be part of it. The testing thing is because Adam Silver is very aware that we're still not at the point where anyone who wants to get a test can get a test, and that backfired on them at the beginning of the season, if you remember. And he doesn't want to move, I think, until he feels that they can get tests and not get backlash for it. So maybe that's why. And he's even said that they've got up to like 4 weeks that they can wait to make a decision. And he's right. They're afforded that. Like, they don't have to rush. They can kind of see how everything else goes and wait for hopefully there to be more tests so it doesn't backfire. But of all the leagues, that's the one, because they got such crap at the beginning of the when everything broke out for taking the tests away from people, that they don't want to be the ones that jump in first. Yeah.
And guys, I got to tell you, UFC, the way they've handled things has been great. I know Dana White has come out and he's gone at some people, but, you know, I know one person tested positive and two other in his corner, but the events have been outstanding. It's been safe. Joe Rogan goes into the ring without even a mask and gloves. Everyone's been tested. I think they're the blueprint to go forward here. I applaud the UFC for what they've done. The events have been entertaining. The betting window has been outstanding. UFC 249 was the highest ever last night. Like, we were watching pretty much an undercard, and it's been outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, last night, I mean, it was a Wednesday night. And, yeah. You know, the fighting, I mean, they weren't huge names, but the fights were good. It was something to watch. It wasn't fake. Sorry, Joe.
No, it's fine.
And, you know, it was entertaining. Like, you know, it was something to watch. And this is going to be hard. The NBA is the woke league. You know what I mean? They have to do everything by the book and make sure everyone's feelings are taken into consideration and no one can be upset by anything they do, and they need to be progressive. And so that's going to make things hard, because everyone's going to have different feelings about this. And the NBA, at the end of the day, is a business. And while I know they want to be known as the woke league and all that stuff, you got to play to make your money. So I think at the end of the day, we'll see the players choose money over being progressive and being safe.
And they'll lose out on 60% of profit
if
they don't continue. They already lost the 40% from people who can attend games. So I don't think they want to lose that 60%.
No, they don't. And they're going to – I mean, there's people practicing in facilities.
Yeah, and
I
should read the story about Kevin Love and what he's been dealing with at practice. Like, they wash the ball constantly. Guys are wearing – like, I guess it's – it doesn't look like it's promising, but at some point it sounds like they want to get this thing going.
All right. I do want to get to some odds here. Can you stick around for one more break?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Let's do that because
we're not having the Tang Man on?
8:20
Oh, I thought I thought it was 7:20 I thought we were going to have the Gare Bear on.
No, later on we got the Gare Bear.
And I ain't pushing him. No. He's the big star. All right. Uh-oh. Yeah, we'll have we'll get some more of the Bankroll Boys. We'll get to some actual gambling, and we'll have that for you in just a moment.
Sports Hub. Toucher.
Our only concern is your condition.
Rich.
This guy's a piece of work, huh?
Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Unprecedented. The Bankroll Boys sticking around for two breaks. And, Rich, they have some prop bets here on the NFL. And I just want to tell you guys this. The Jets are getting so much. I'm not going to talk about what they have on the screen. The Jets are a dog in every road game this year. So not
were they a
Vegas.
Dog in every road game last year?
Dude, I don't remember.
They probably weren't a dog
they were
at Miami.
Favorite
right?
at Miami, yeah. -3, yep.
Yeah, okay. Look at you. That's a photographic memory.
That's right.
Did you lose a lot of money on that one? Is that why?
Dude, you always remember your losses. You don't really remember the wins.
So that's probably the case.
Sounds like it.
But they did lose to the Jets last year. The Jets were -3. I remember I was in Florida at the time, and yeah, I thought it was the most square line on the board that day.
And Joe liked that.
Okay. All right. Well, along those lines, things have kind of shifted, it looks like, because you have the odds to win the AFC East. And for the longest time, despite Tom Brady not being with the team, the Patriots, they were the Vegas darlings in the AFC East. And now it looks like a team has moved ahead of them. Is that correct, guys?
So, I mean, there's lines everywhere. I've seen a bunch of different places with the Pats as favorites. Look, here's what's going to happen this year, okay? Everyone's going to see that Brady's gone, and everyone's going to jump on the Bills bandwagon. We've seen it. We see it year after year after year. There's always two or three teams that become the media darlings and that everyone falls in love with. Last year, it was the Bears and the Browns. And full transparency, I loved the Browns last year. I jumped on the media darling. How'd that do? They sucked. Yeah. The Bears, they sucked. Every year, a couple years ago, was the Bucks. Everyone was all gung-ho about the Bucks. How'd they do? They were under 500. We do this every year, and people make the same mistake over and over.
This year could be Buffalo and Tampa Bay.
Buffalo and the Bucks, this year, are the media darlings. And again, I think the Bucks still have a chance to be okay and make the playoffs, but I got to be honest with you. I don't like the Bills. I think they're maybe the third or fourth team in the East this year. I think they're going to suck. I don't like Josh Allen.
Fourth?
Dude, listen. The coach got outcoached by Bill O'Brien in the playoffs. He took a dump on national television to Bill O'Brien.
Oh, but that took Deshaun Watson being a superhero.
No, it took Josh Allen fumbling at the 50-yard line, which is what we saw
all year long. Yeah, that was not a good well-coached game.
And not to mention the Texans had a 24-point lead against the Chiefs in the AFC as well, but we won't go there.
We do this every year. We overvalue teams because of their previous year. I'm just telling you, the Bills are this year's team where everyone loves them.
But they got
great.
Better. They got better.
Yeah, but Josh Allen's their quarterback. By the way, Josh Allen is a 60-1 MVP. Jared Stidham at 75-1. Darnold at 100-1.
The D's getting no love. I agree with you. That's why I threw it in there today.
Dude, I'd rather bet Darnold or Stidham a million times before I threw a single dollar on Josh Allen to win MVP.
I mean, the Bills are just a hugely frustrating team to bet on.
Yep.
Because, I mean, they could play a perfect defensive game and just have Allen throw it away.
right?
Quite literally throw it away.
And Stephon Diggs could burn the thing down. I really do. If he's not getting the football, like, he's going to be a malcontent for that.
Diggs is a deep threat who has a quarterback who's, like, one of the worst downfield throwers in the league. I mean, that's a recipe for disaster, not for progress. I mean, who's better, Kirk Cousins or Josh Allen? He wasn't happy with Kirk Cousins. You think he's going to be happy in Buffalo with Josh Allen missing him by 10 yards over his head? I'm just saying, there's a lot that can go wrong.
I have both the Patriots and Bills winning 9 or 10 games, and both fighting for the playoffs with the extended playoffs this year.
Okay, and what's the over-under on the Patriots officially, because it's been changing?
8.5, 9?
It's 9. Yeah, it's pretty much consistently 9. It opened at 9.5 most places. But it's consistently settling at 9 now.
And you're looking at, and you guys are both taking the over.
I'm going over. Yep. So many people are down on the Pats this year. They still got a good defense. The schedule looks difficult. It does. But I just think they got a superior defense, and they're still the Patriots. I know, listen, Brady didn't have a great year last year. I know he was not good. If Stidham can be what Brady was, or at least average, they're still going to be a good team.
Or just close. I mean, you're not going to get – Brady had moments of greatness last year, and Stidham won't provide those for you, you know, with the consistency
on the road
Brady
and
did.
Situational.
But if Stidham can be, you know, 75% of what Brady was last year, you're still looking at a 9-10 win team. Brady's value lies more in the playoffs throughout his career than the regular season. I mean, that's been, you know, where Brady's true value, where he's upped his game. You know, again, and obviously there's primetime games, specific games, so that's not true. But for the most part, you know, especially in the last year or two, his value has really lied in the playoffs.
So give me a good money bet for MVP this year. Like, if you were to put money on who's going to win the MVP this year, who do you think has the best value right now?
For me, it's so square, but Mahomes, right? He's the hottest thing going. I think it's right around 600 right now.
Mahomes, really?
Yeah, I think he's the favorite. Lamar Jackson second. Russell Wilson, I believe, is third. But there's probably some good value out there for somebody, Dan. I don't know who you had in mind.
I took Kyler Murray at 42-1 early in the offseason, probably like maybe a couple weeks after the Super Bowl. That's down to about 18-20-1 most places. But even then, I think you're still getting, you know, some good value. I mean, Murray is a guy who looked really good last year. I know they only won three games. I thought they only won three. Maybe it was five.
They're total 7 this year, and they're a hype team.
Yeah, you're right.
It was
5. Yeah, but either way, I mean, the fact is that I was thinking the pre-Murray year. But regardless, I mean, the Cardinals have added DeAndre Hopkins. They've got rid of that David Johnson contract. They drafted, you know, a large amount of, you know, good young rookies. You know, if they can get 7-8 wins, which I think is going to be tough in that division, but possible, I think, you know, they can maybe sneak into the playoffs or wild card chance. I think Murray is a good bet for MVP. I mean, we had Lamar Jackson last year.
What's Brady sitting at right now?
I think he's 14-15-1 most places. But, again, he's going to be the most heavily bet MVP candidate this year because of the odds and the fact that he's with the Bucs offense, Gronk, Evans, et cetera. Yeah. You know, so you're going to have a ton of money coming in on Tom Brady.
Yeah, one thing to
plus a ton of eyes on him as well.
True. One thing to consider, the easiest schedule in football is Baltimore. They loaded up in the draft. And Pittsburgh has the second easiest schedule in the league. I think they bounce back, and Roethlisberger has a really good year.
Yeah, I think that's certainly possible, too. And, again, I think the Patriots are going to be better than most people think. And, I mean, again, I don't think Stidham is going to win an MVP, but if Stidham has an incredible year, that's a real, real long shot you want to put some money on. And, you know, I think there's a possible that either Stidham or Darnold has a better year than, you know, we project. Someone has to win the AFC East.
All right. Darnold's not impressing many people, apparently. Apparently, this is only a New York phenomenon.
Listen, I'll ask you guys, if you rank the quarterbacks in the AFC East, who's number one? It's Sam Darnold for me.
Yep, Sam Darnold for me.
I don't think there's a question. And, I mean, now, listen, we might find out that Stidham's pretty good, but because it's not tough to be better than that guy up in Buffalo. And also, and who knows what they're going to do with Tua. Yeah. I mean, you don't think they're going to start the season with Tua, right? I wouldn't think so.
I mean, I saw the odds yesterday. It's -400 for Fitzpatrick to be the starter next year.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it doesn't sound like it. They didn't start with Rosen last year either, and Rosen wasn't a rookie. They had just traded for him. So my guess is that, especially coming off the hip injury, Fitzpatrick will get at least a couple of games.
Yeah, I think Tagovailoa is a great player. He's, like, polarizing. He could start right away. They got Chan Gailey running that offense. Like, they can go four wide and run. He could play right away. So, but I don't know. It might make sense maybe to go with Fitzpatrick because they had a little thing with him last year.
He's tiny. Like Tua is tiny. I could pick him up.
And then he'll get hurt.
he's tiny. Especially, when as I said, I saw him in person at Super Bowl a week. And, I mean, it's shocking how small he is. Doesn't mean he's not going to be successful. It just means that everyone who's had that knock on him, on his size, it's real. Like, you know, you see a guy like Drew Brees and your first thought isn't, well, that guy's tiny. Even though that was the big knock on him. Tua, it's the first thing you think. You're like, that guy's a quarterback? There's no way.
He's good, though.
I mean, people said that about Kyler, too. I mean, he's like, what, 5'9", maybe? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, he's smaller than Russell. And, you know, the guy can play.
All right, so I see one thing here, very interesting. Ennis Kanter to the WWE. Now, where is this coming from?
Yeah, I believe he said that he already signed a deal. When he's done, he's going to go to WWE. I guess he has a contract already.
He's done that with them. Like, he's wrestled with them.
Yeah, it was like some dark stuff, yeah. But
dark stuff?
Dark matches.
Dark, and it wasn't on TV.
Yeah, it wasn't on TV.
Oh, I thought you meant it was like, yeah, you know, it was, very
it
gaunt.
Was dark stuff.
With the druids.
There were druids. Druids and right. all right. kinds of Satanism.
I heard somebody, James Harrison, might be considering coming to WWE as well.
He's someone who'd snap.
Dude, he reminds me of like what was it? No Holds Barred, like Zeus. Like, he could literally be that character if you wanted him to.
No Holds Barred. I know somebody who was in No Holds Barred. Like, my high school wrestling coach was actually in No Holds Barred back in the day, which, by the way, a fantastic film. Not as good as Mr. Nanny, but still pretty good.
Pretty good.
So what did you think of Becky Lynch getting pregnant and having to give it? Were you shocked?
The man is preggo. And in some way I was negative towards Seth Rollins towards it because they're dating, engaged or whatever. I don't know. I mean, it's weird, right? Like, the girl's at the hype of her career, and you know, like, congratulations. Okay, she's having a baby, but like that's just that's something though. Like, you know,
jeez,
the hype of her career. And she's like, I thought Ronda Rousey wasn't wrestling anymore because of this, and she's the first. Like, I don't know. So that was my reaction.
Why is she not wrestling just because she's pregnant? Now, hey, what about the lady?
The lady was in the Money in the Bank contract, which Asuka won, but unfortunately, she couldn't climb that ladder, but maybe she'll get the push now. Who knows? TNR push.
It's true. Right. Now that Becky Lynch is gone, they got to fill it up with somebody else to, you know, make the men... Yeah.
Hey, one thing I wanted to tell you guys, this week, Fred, this week they showed WrestleMania 3 on FS1. The ratings were through the roof, and I was looking for you. They had like the 90,000 people that day. I think you said you were there, right?
I was in the seventh row wearing a gray sweatshirt that I'd cut the sleeves off of and made a V-neck. So I was looking pretty cool. But I was there in the seventh row. I don't know how my dad got the tickets, but there I was.
Dude, it was star-studded, man. Like, I watched the whole thing in its entirety. Like, the Hogan-Andre match sucked. Everything else was awesome.
Well, he couldn't move, right?
Andre couldn't move.
They had to bring him in on a forklift. He couldn't walk to the ring.
Yeah, one of those wheelie things. They wheeled him in. I thought. Yeah.
Didn't they have him winning, but then... Yeah, Andre the Giant
Andre
was
said
like...
slam at the end and put him over. Because, Hogan didn't know he didn't know if he was going to get over or not, and that's what it was.
There you go. Well, fellas, the Bankroll Boys, the Over-Under 98.5 show is on Sunday mornings.
Saturday, yep.
Saturday mornings, I apologize.
Hey, guys, next week we have the big – we're going to be promoting it all week long, but it's the Tiger Woods the challenge, the Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning.
Tiger Manning, Brady.
Is that going to be pre-taped?
I heard no.
I don't know.
If it does, that's going to suck. Yeah,
we'll let you know on Thursday the results if that's the case.
Yes.
All right. Well, listen, you can get the Over Under 98.5 podcast wherever you find your fine podcasts. Gentlemen, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy your weekend. We will be right back. Here are the headlines.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They're very big.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Did you hear about this guy, Matt Martin? He is a Lucasfilm executive. He serves as a story group, a creative executive for the Disney-owned company. And he said on Twitter, so to summarize, there is a reason that we need to internally know what is and isn't canon so we can keep our line of official storytelling as aligned as possible. But doesn't mean fans can individually pick and choose what they want to accept as true? It's all fake anyway. So you can choose to accept whatever you want as part of this story. And guess what happened, Ridge?
Oh, well, I mean, he just said, it's still real to me, damn it. I bet there was a bunch of backlash, yes.
Yes, it is. It was greeted with much, much, much agitation.
Fred, what happened? What happened?
I mean, he just, everyone went nuts on him.
Okay, so Fred, you have to understand, like, you know, there's this whole, I'm trying to think, what was the most, think Deflategate, all right? Think of, like, how the sports talk world was, like, set ablaze. There were the people who thought that the Patriots were dirty cheaters, and then there was the defend the wall crowd and all of that. Think of that. That is what's going on in internet chat rooms about the last three Star Wars movies, specifically the second Star Wars movie, so of the new ones. So what happened was J.J. Abrams comes in, and he makes The Force Awakens, and The Force Awakens is just kind of more of a doesn't rock the boat, good movie, but more of like a feel-good, hey, remember C-3PO and remember all that. It didn't really do anything too crazy and kind of kept the story moving forward, set up a new story. And then The Last Jedi came out. Now, The Last Jedi was a completely different director. It's a guy named Rian Johnson. Rian Johnson directed the best episodes of Breaking Bad. This dude is brilliant. And what he did, and I know you didn't see any of these, Fred, is he completely flipped half of the storylines on his head and basically just went like, all right, I know that we've been leading you up to this. Uh-uh, that's not going to happen. And this right here, oh, yeah, this isn't what you think it's going to be. And completely just like, dude, it was nerd rage. Nerd rage about what he had done. And to me, I thought it was awesome. I was like, this is great. Like no one's shocked about anything that happens in Star Wars since Darth Vader was his father. Like, everything else has just been kind of predictable. But this guy just comes in and pees all over the quote-unquote canon that all of these nerds were flipping out about. And then what happens is, in order to try to fix it, Disney got J.J. Abrams back and like tried to make it a little more user-friendly. And then people got pissed that it wasn't as crazy as the one before it. And, dude, it was the Deflategate of Star Wars
nerddom.
It was
a mess. It was just a mess.
Okay, let me see if he took it down. Oh, he took it down.
Oh, really? It was such a controversial opinion that he took it down? And meanwhile, you're right. Like, the people who like write Star Wars are like, dude, it's all fake. Like, we make the rules. You know,
it came out of my brain. Like, I made it. Like you see, what happened is I sat down and put pen to paper, and I created this story without your help at all. I wasn't, this isn't a biography. This is something. Can you imagine having to, take down the tweet that you put up there about it being fake?
Dude, the best example of
just
people.
By the way, real quick, what does he think, that people aren't going to watch it anymore?
Right, Star Wars. The best example of just a people needing to calm down, the best way that it was represented was, remember we had Stan Lee on, and I was interviewing Stan Lee, and I was just kind of joking around. I was like, hey, you know, the arrow guy, I forgot what his name, who's the dude with the arrows?
From Archer?
Jeremy Renner, the Jeremy Renner character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I said, you know, what happens when he runs out of arrows? And he goes, well, I just draw new ones in the comic, so... He never runs out of arrows. I create the characters, and that's how it goes. And that is like, that's all you need to know. Like, they create the characters. They make the rules. You don't sit there and make them. And it was, dude, it has been complete rage when it comes to the Star Wars deal.
All right, so here it is. Yet another sign Lucasfilm in its current incarnation sees profit as top priority. Storytelling be damned. Yes, the Star Wars movies, I would imagine, are out there to make money. I don't, this isn't exactly, a Fellini film. Nothing in Star Wars is fake. It's the creative product of hundreds, sometimes thousands of people, and it deserves to be treated with respect, not dismissed as fake. Respect your work, dude. Stories are part of who we are and need to be treated as such.
Oh, my God. I mean, just everyone's got to just sit back and go,
why is this guy allowed anywhere near Star Wars? Oh, really? It's all fake. Thanks, Jesus, thanks. It's obviously fake. We care about the stories in the canon because we like structured stories and interesting lore that shows consistency. I'm not interested in a story with no structure.
Okay, this brings me, Fred, this is a perfect setup for what I want to tell you about. So, what, maybe, I don't know, when did the Harry Potter second to last book come out? You did this thing where you were talking about it on the air at the time, and remember how people used to wait in line for the book to be released, yeah. And they would go home and they'd read it? So this was like, I don't know, 2 days or something after the book had been released, and you were talking about it on the air, and someone called in and said that they had been reading it the whole time, and you said, well, what happened? And he goes, do you really want me to say it? And you said, yeah. And the guy said, well, the headmaster dies. And people went nuts that this guy had spoiled the ending of the Harry Potter book.
They
went
crazy.
Well,
they got mad at me as well. Yes.
Well, they got mad at you, and then you started obviously mocking them. It was really, really funny. Well, so people take this stuff very seriously. Hell, I don't want things to be spoiled. But what? Sometimes you're just oblivious to it all. Like LaShawn McCoy was several years ago when Avengers Endgame came out. So Avengers Endgame, and I don't care if you haven't seen it by now, here's the ending. So LaShawn McCoy tweeted, he went to see a screening of it. He was one of the people who was lucky enough to go see it. And at the end of it, he got out and tweeted, RIP my dog, Tony Stark. And then afterwards, he wrote, worst day ever. Me and Lil Shady are hurt. They killed Iron Man. Take Captain America instead. And people went insane on LaShawn
Nick,
McCoy.
You know, Nick, come in studio. You know Nick went insane.
Oh, yeah.
If Nick would have seen it, because then he wouldn't have gotten that emotional exhaustion that comes with that. Remember, after he saw the Avengers, he said he was emotionally exhausted. And
yes.
Then when you said, that's pathetic, he said, well, I've put all these hours into it. Would you say that makes it better? Well, I've devoted like basically 5 days of my life to this, and you're thinking, well, that, how does that make anything better?
So LaShawn McCoy got killed. Now think of LaShawn McCoy. LaShawn McCoy is a guy who has gotten injured. Like, he's, you know, somebody who's played football. You know, it's been, listen to LaShawn McCoy in an interview that he did yesterday. Talk about that incident and listen to the pain in his voice.
LaShawn, our friend here, LaShawn, got to see Avengers Endgame before most of the country and the world. And quickly, in all his excitement, went to Twitter.com and tweeted, and I quote, RIP to my dog, Tony Stark. It's a truly historic tweet, LaShawn. You know your head's already in your hands. What was the fallout from this, and what did you learn from it?
That was the worst decision of my life, okay? So we go to watch the movie, because I'm not familiar with this. I mean, when I was a kid, I watched, like, the Marvel films. I mean, I'm 31. I don't really watch it like I used to. But I didn't know that people watch it like that. So when we go watch the movie, so when we get out, I'm tweeting, we're talking, and then I tweeted it, just having fun. But I didn't know, like, the reaction of the people. I didn't know that. If I knew that, I would have never tweeted that. I didn't know that people... really got into them cartoons like that. So and I apologize. It was terrible. That's bad decision. But you know the worst part about this? Like, I would go to the grocery store and, you know, I'd see, like, older women. Hey, Shane, how you doing? And they would be like, hey, why did you tell us about Tony Stark dying? And this is... Hey, like, what do you say?
Oh, my God.
So I felt terrible about that. I really did, man.
So, I mean, just like, think about that. And he's, I don't know if people watch cartoons like that.
Yeah, exactly. Because in his mind, it's like a comic book. By the way, he's the same age I'm being told as Nick, 31 years old. So, young Nicholas, how did you avoid, what would you say to LaShawn McCoy?
I would be pissed if I watched all those movies, you know, within a 10-year radius, like 20, I think it's 23 or 24 movies. And then it's all spoiled by some guy.
Well, you watched all of them in that radius?
Or
yeah, what?
Or sorry.
Hello? Nick, are you talking?
Anyways, if I watched all those movies.
Rich, in fairness, he watched all the film in that radius.
Universe, you know?
Yes, in that radius universe. So, okay. I understand being pissed. I do. But, I mean, there's people like, okay, so we had the Bankroll Boys on a while back, and we were doing the odds for who was going to, like, sit on the Iron Throne in Game of Thrones. Now, remember, no one had seen it. Like, this is, like, something that had not aired yet, and they gave the odds as to who was going to win it. And I'm like, oh, it's probably been leaked then. And people are still pissed to this day that the Bankroll Boys gave odds to who was going to win the Iron Throne because the odds were right. They were right about it, but they're pissed. And I'm like, all right, man, we gotta stop right now. We got to stop.
But even Game of Thrones, I sort of understand because, I mean, if you, I don't know, it's like a TV show. I don't know.
It's the same thing because the Avengers, how many movies are there? There's like 25, and you times that by like, I mean, that's probably about as much, if not more, film than Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones, what, six seasons?
Yeah, but it's also not,
I mean, it's like the same length probably.
Yeah, I know, but just
dude, it's wizards and dragons and orcs and stuff. Of course, it's the same thing.
Listen, I stopped watching
as Iron Man. No, it's the same thing.
First of all, I don't think I'd care if someone spoiled it for me. I really wouldn't.
I wouldn't want it. I wouldn't want it. But
second of all, I didn't get through it after they made the guy a eunuch, and then nothing happened in the next episode to kill the guy who did it. I said, I'm not watching this anymore. I don't need to see this guy, you know, walking around like a slave to this dude who just chopped his penis off. Mm-hmm. And so, but Nick, if you saw LaShawn McCoy and you had indeed, he had spoiled the movie for you, what would you say to him?
I would probably say that's not very nice, or that's not cool. I don't know.
Nick, you would be.
I wouldn't be happy about it.
Okay, would you say, like, hey, I've been involved in the radius of these films for so long.
All right.
And then LaShawn McCoy would say, huh?
What? Oh, you're one of those guys like them cartoons. I like those cartoons.
But that's true. I mean, he's just like, wow, I didn't know that people still were into cartoons like that. I don't understand. So you have people. You have one of the guys who made Star Wars or was working with the studio or whatever, saying that you know, if you can. And his point was, you can, you know, choose what you. I don't know what goes on with Star Wars, to be honest with you, and it's not because I'm cool. Like, apparently, there's different things going on. And
yeah, listen, that movie came out, The Last Jedi, and just turned the whole thing on its head, and people got all pissed. And like, and what was funny was the director, the guy who did all the Breaking Bad stuff, Rian Johnson, was like, you can say all you want, but I'm the biggest Star Wars fan you know, and I know all this stuff. And like, people were like going back and forth, and it was hysterical. Right. You know who got pissed? Who got really pissed at the director? Like, I think that there was even a back and forth between him and the director was Joe Haggerty. Like, Joe Haggerty went on Twitter and like was going back and forth with Rian Johnson. I thought that was hysterical. Like, well, people got pissed.
Okay, let me finish my original thought, and then we can get to Haggerty. All right, so because he's doing something. So, So anyway, so this guy's like, and his point was, you know, you enjoy this the way you want to enjoy it. Like, you can choose to like or follow some kind of, my interpretation of it is he was saying, you can, you know, follow whatever storyline you choose to follow. You know, it's all fake anyway. So, you know, you can do whatever you want, and then they don't want to hear that. Now, Haggerty, and I'm not positive this is for, I think he's doing stuff for charity. But every day during the lockdown, he's been wearing a Star Wars themed baseball or sports jersey.
And, like, just it baseball. Hasn't, just baseball.
It hasn't
I think he's
stopped.
Auctioning them off. I think he's auctioning them off.
Okay, fair enough. Like, great. Thing, that's nice. And it's great for charity, and God bless him. But the idea that he's had, I mean, we're in the ninth week of this. and he's like still got jerseys.
Never the same one twice. Yep.
That's his thing. That's his thing that he collects. He's always been, he's worn them in the studio before.
Oh, no, I've seen them, yeah. But I just was unaware that this is such a massive thing, these Star Wars jerseys. That, and I don't know how you come about them. I don't know any of that. Because they're like minor league teams and stuff.
So the Ryan Johnson tweets, it looks like have been deleted. I tried to dig up the ones between him and Joe Haggerty, but it all started with, like, I guess Ryan Johnson, in a tweet that's not available anymore, wrote something about, you know, the history of Star Wars. And Joe Haggerty put, anything in there on Mary Poppins' Leia? Thanks, asking for a friend. And I guess Ryan Johnson got back to her. There's a part where, like, Leia, like, floats through the sky. And this is the response Haggerty had to Ryan Johnson. So I don't know what Ryan Johnson had to say. And he goes, not at all. To me, the manifestations of the Force with Leia had always been more emotional than physical. But that wasn't my issue. The visual of her flying Mary Poppins style and banging on a window to be let back in hit me as more absurd than emotional. I just didn't connect with it. So, and then they kept going back and forth. And then, of course, he had to, like, start saying, hey, but I like you anyway. He goes, with that being said, I thought Luke Skywalker's arc was great, and Kylo Ren was excellent as well. I just didn't love it as a whole and had some issues with that scene. One person's opinion. So he went back and forth with the director for a while.
Well, listen, you gotta respect it. I mean, the director wanted to get in. He wanted to make sure Haggerty kept collecting the jerseys.
He stayed true, though. Even with all that, yes.
I don't get it, but who am I? I'm just a man. All right, we will be back. We'll have little headlines. We'll keep you up to date with what's going on. We'll be back in just a moment.